Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Turn to the book of Proverbs. I know you just stood, but if I could invite you to stand one more time for the reading of God's Word. Certainly a familiar text. We are all familiar with this. I think we could quote it. Proverbs 29:18. This verse is from the fourth division of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs essentially is in six basic divisions. And this division is commonly called warnings and instructions. And so Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice that there is an intrinsic connection between having vision and keeping the law. They are both in the same sentence together. Happy is he. Why don't we read that together? Can we do that? Read that with me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Pastor, would you pray? Hallelujah. Clap your hands one more time before you sit down. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak on this thought. Three practical aspects of vision. Three practical aspects of vision. The word vision, and we often give, a lot of times refer to the Greek and its definition, and I think that can be very important to get a full context. Our world today often says you can't use this word anymore, you can't use this word anymore, it's not appropriate, or they might say not politically correct. And a lot of times that's very true. Some words that were common, say, 50 years ago are not appropriate today. And I would not dare use many of those words because it could cause someone to feel uncomfortable. But the great thing about God's Word is that it is always in its own proper context. Now, we can dive deeper into the meaning of words, but it always says what it means. The word vision in the Greek is chaza, and it can also be translated as revelation, and I'll explain why I'm pointing that out. The word happy in the Greek is ashar. It's not necessarily talking about happy, giddy, good feelings, because to the Israelites, being happy wasn't just about having good feelings on the inside. It wasn't just about an elated state of emotion. It literally means to be guided forward in a straight, level, and honest manner. Because to them, that's what happiness was, being guided forward, not veering to the left or to the right, being straight, being level, being honest. That's what happiness was to them. And so when we keep the law, we are proceeding forward in a straight, level, and honest manner. So what is vision? I want to be clear exactly what we're talking about as we move forward in this. Vision is a purpose, a goal, or a set of goals directly from or inspired by God or His Word concerning a specific spiritual matter. I'll say that again. It is a goal or a set of goals directly from or inspired by God or His Word concerning a specific spiritual matter. Have you ever been reading God's Word and something just jumped out at you and you said, that's for me, that's something I need to put into practice, or that's something it struck you in a way that said, this is where I'm going, this is where I have to get to, this has got to guide my pattern of behavior. Whenever we receive a vision, it must align with God's Word, every time. Again, scrolling in Facebook, I have to just skip some people that say some strange and odd things. Some people say that God doesn't speak to our hearts. He doesn't do that. Everything we need is is in His Word, and that is true. Okay, but we know God speaks to our heart. We have examples of that in the book of Acts. A group of missionaries were going to go to a specific city, but it said the Spirit stopped us. The Spirit forbade us. Sometimes God will say, don't do that, or do this, or God will inspire something. Have you ever been in service and you just knew that you were supposed to tell somebody something and you just walked up and told them that and they said, you don't know how much I needed to hear that? That's a wonderful experience for both parties, especially the person that is receiving. Okay, so everything, our vision, our purpose, our set of goals that are pertaining to a specific spiritual matter must align with God's Word. If I get something that says to do, to act in a certain behavior, a certain manner that doesn't line up with the Word, doesn't line up with teaching, then I had too much pizza. Okay, I got a case of heartburn and thought it was Jesus. All right, everything we says that God says to us will line with His Word. Amen. Also, vision must be nurtured. Everybody say nurtured. It must be nurtured by prayer, by fasting, and by service. There's an old example that says a car, you cannot turn a car unless it's moving. If a car is stationary, it's even hard to turn the steering wheel, but you cannot point that vehicle in a different direction unless it is moving. I find that to be very true with us. If you want direction in your life, do something for the kingdom. We should certainly be praying and fasting, and we could teach a whole series on that. But we also must be serving. We must be doing something. If you don't know exactly what to do, just go to individual people and just say something encouraging. You may be thinking, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my vision. Our pastor has really been has been teaching such dynamic messages on this. That if you don't know what you're supposed to do, find something in the Word that says what to do. Encourage your brother. Encourage your sister. Encourage your pastor. Encourage your pastor's wife, the ministry, our assistant pastor, all the people that minister here. Go to them. Say something good. Tell them, I heard great things about what you do. There is nobody in here that I would have to think and think and think about something good to say about them. I could look at Matthew and say, I don't look at him and say, okay, I got to come up with something quick here. Give me a second, buddy. I'm going to think of something good about you. No, I don't do that. It's easy. I can say, Brother Matthew, I appreciate the way you serve. You don't look for recognition when you work with the media. All those things are very important. And even if something goes wrong, I know it's annoying when people just crane their head and turn back and look back. You know, I know that, but you take it so well. And we appreciate you serving. We appreciate the things that you have to say. I'm grateful to Sister Andrea. Thank you. You are such a kind encouragement to other young ladies in this church. You don't start drama. No drama. No drama with, you know, no mama drama there, okay? And we're grateful for that. It's easy to dig for gold, as you might say, and find something good to say about somebody. So if you don't know what to do in the kingdom, just start saying nice things. I promise you, God will, in those moments, give you direction. Or somebody's going to say, what you said, that was good. You need to do more of that. Okay, you need to say more of that. It must be nurtured by prayer, fasting, and by service. And here's the hard part. It must be allowed to come to fruition in its own time, in God's time. I have a vision. I've shared this before. I have a vision for children's Bible studies to go all around the world. If it's not our little old Bible study, that's fine. But that is my vision for Bible studies that are specific for children to teach other children. As far as I know, we never had any of that prior to about 15 years ago. Actually, we started writing it about 20 years ago. And my vision is for that to just go around the world. Okay, again, it doesn't have to be my little illustrated thing. That's fine. But I want a fire to catch on. I have a vision for that, very specific vision that I believe God has given me. And I believe that there will come a day when it may not even happen until glory, where I find out that, yeah, we were our kids are teaching Bible studies. They were inspired by this Bible study. They started teaching other Bible studies, and they got their friends, and children were learning to win. I have a vision for that, and it was from God, and I haven't seen it come to fruition the way that I want to yet, and it doesn't matter how long it's been. It has been, I can measure it in decades, that I have had this vision, but I have not seen it the way that I want to see it. Now, I've had it translated. I've done some different things with it. I've done as much as I can with it. But at some point, we just have to say, God, your time. Our vision will not prematurely come to pass. It just won't. It is not possible for that to happen. Well, before I started evangelizing full-time, I tried to make that happen. I tried to, just go into the ministry full time, and when it wasn't working out, I got my feelings hurt. But God's time, my pastor at the time said, "Look, people are just going to start calling you. Okay, when you have something to do, people are just going to start calling on you. Your gift will make room for itself. Whatever it is that you see happening, it will come to pass." Now, much of that is a process. Certain when it comes to vision, a lot of that needs to start immediately, and I'll get to that shortly. And vision must not cause confusion or division. It must not cause confusion or division. If confusion or division is taking place, God is not the author of confusion. If any of that is happening, generally speaking, one of two things is taking place. Either we're just wrong. We're not listening to the right voices. We're getting excited in our own mind. We're not we haven't fasted enough. We haven't gotten rid of our flesh enough, or we are improperly handling our vision. And I just gave you my own example of that. A great example of improperly handling a vision, and I'll talk about this young man a little more, is Joseph. We say great things about Joseph, and that's true. Okay, Joseph, the issues that he had weren't nearly as bad as some of the other great people we read about in the Bible. It's okay to point out, flaws and things that people needed to work on and imperfections in people. That's important to understand that and what God did with those. So if we are improperly handling our vision, then it could cause division. It could cause confusion, even if it causes confusion in our own mind. So here are the three practical aspects of vision. First of all, we must have a vision for ourselves. Pastor can't give it to us. Our neighbor can't give it to us. Our father cannot give it to us. We certainly see a lot of things passed down from pastor to son in the ministry that he's doing. That's very common, very wonderful thing to see. But pastor cannot give, as holy and spiritual and awesome spiritual giants that they are, he cannot make his children, in-law children, whoever, he cannot make them have a vision, and he cannot give that vision to them. We have to have our own personal vision. God has vision for all his children. And there's a lot of scriptures pertaining to this. Here's that if again. If we are willing and able to receive it, if we demonstrate that we are willing and able to receive that. Sometimes when it comes to personal vision, that vision must be kept private. In Joseph's case, and we'll get to that, it was not kept private. And that's part of what got him into a lot of trouble. Now, when I say private, obviously between us, God, and our pastor. If you have a vision for yourself, we need direction from the man of God in our lives, from a minister who knows us, who loves us, that we can truly trust, and we certainly have that in this church. We can share that, and we can say, "Pastor, I believe God has given me this direction for my life." It could be a call to ministry. Whatever it is, we can go to him and he can say, "Okay, I will help you pray about that. We'll talk about that some more." And he may even say, "Let's just keep this between us right now." Because if we go from person to person to person, say, "This is going to be great. I've got this idea. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful." And people might say, "Okay, that's good." Well, that vision may be a very long-term vision. And when other people don't see it coming to pass, they can think, oh, he said he was going to do something big, but he ain't no closer than he was 5 years ago. At least that's how they may feel. And people not being able to entirely share our vision, they could even become discouraged in us or discouraged for us when they don't see it coming to pass. So it's okay to keep our vision for ourselves private. Now, when it's time to share, when it's time to put it out, we'll just know. You'll feel good about it. Pastor will feel good about it. The people who may even be a part of your vision will feel good about it. But we must have a personal vision for ourselves. It doesn't necessarily mean ministry. It could be in just living for God. This is where I'm going. I want to read the Bible this much. I want to pray this much. I want to work in the church like this. I want to grow closer, this much closer to God. And we might not even be able to completely define our vision. All we know is that we just see something in our spirit. We know that there is somewhere we're supposed to be going. I can't quite see it. I see through a glass darkly, but I know where I'm supposed to be going. I have a vision for myself and for my spiritual walk. Amen? Second practical aspect. We must have a vision for those we lead. Now, not everyone is a minister in the church, but eventually everyone in here will have a household of their own. Now, we understand, we say man is the head of the house and man is, you know, leader and so forth, and that's fine, and that's good, and that's biblical, but, you know, that certainly doesn't exclude the wife from leading the household and leading the children. You've heard the saying, if the man is the head, well, the woman is the neck, you know. I wish the world understood this better. Women have always had more power than the world gives them credit for, okay? Women have toppled kingdoms. Women have helped build kingdoms, okay? Women have done great things. Women have a powerful voice. That matter of fact, when it comes to the voice of a woman, that's the title of a book that we're reading for devotional right now, written by Sister Green. Excellent, excellent book. I encourage you to get that. All young ladies, get that book. Read it. It's so powerful, and it talks about having your own voice. Well, when it comes to leading our families, that's who we should have vision for first. Our family is number one. It has happened before that pastors had great vision for their church. They're a great leader. They're a great pastor. But when it comes to their own home, they expect the vision for their church to be the vision for their home. And the two are obviously connected, but they are two different things. Okay? A vision for the church is one thing, but a vision for the home is something else. A vision for the home is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If someone were to ask my daughter, tell me about your household as it pertains to the things of God. What is your purpose? What is your goal? What do you do for serving God? How does your parents, how do they lead you in serving God? How do they show you how to go? I hope that she would be able to give a clear answer. One thing that we do, and we do this daily, is we have daily devotional every single night. Right now, like I mentioned, the devotional book that we're using is Sister Green's book. We have done Bible stories before. When they were younger, of course, we had little children's Bible stories. Sometimes I would make up a story. My father used to do that when I was younger. He'd make up a story and tell us. I remember the story of the oil never running out. I remember my dad telling me that. And it didn't just teach me a principle. It didn't just teach me God's word, which of course is number one. It said, even though I didn't consciously think this in my head, it said, we are a house that serves the Lord. We are a house that continues daily in doctrine. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, shortly after, of course, this is shortly after, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine what? Heart, not just in your brain, in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, when thou sittest in the home, okay, that's a good time, and when thou walkest by the way, that's another good time, and when thou liest down, bedtime, okay, that good, and when thou risest up, They were talking about God all the time. It's time to sit down to dinner. We thank God for this food. Get up, girls. This is the day that the Lord has made. Evening time, that's when we do our devotion. We all take our turn saying a prayer. And, of course, we encourage them to have your own prayer time. Have your own devotional time. But we are going to serve the Lord. I consider it such a tragedy that many families, they expect the spiritual rearing of their children to be done almost entirely, if not entirely, by the church. And that cannot be the case. We have to have our own leadership, and we have to be deliberate about it. We have to say, look, we're coming to church every single week. We're not going to miss a single week of church. This is what we do. We do not forsake the assembling of ourselves in the house of the Lord. This is what we do. My mom said, the only time you get to miss is if you're sick or if you're, pardon me, throwing up, okay? But if we did, she'd say, okay, good, you feel better. We'll go to church now, all right. And if we had a fever, we need to take you to church and pray for you so you can get better. So we were going to church. What do we say? I was born on Saturday and in church on Sunday, and I guarantee I was never late. That was how it was in my household. We're going to church. You got home, don't have time to change out of your work clothes. Well, you're just going to go in your work clothes, okay? I stink. Well, you stink. You've been playing outside. Either you stink at home or you stink at church. Either way, you're going to stink, so you might as well stink in God's house, okay? We are going to church. That was the vision from my parents to us. We are serving the Lord. We must also have vision in ministry. If you serve in ministry, and ministry isn't necessarily a title, and we like titles, and we need those. We have our youth pastor. We have our pastor, assistant pastor. We have a prayer team. We have other things, but it can also be true that when we say, you know what, brother so and so, we can always count on him to do XYZ. He has that ministry in the church. Never appointed, never announced to the church that this is what they're going to do. This is the head of the department. It's just something that they do. And we must have a vision for those to whom we minister. For the children when teaching once a month, Our vision is to teach God's word. It's to get you ready to receive the Holy Ghost. And we've had kids receive the Holy Ghost in children's church. We have them receive the Holy Ghost in regular service, as we call it, or services that the children's service that we have in here. We must have a vision, a specific vision that everybody understands. At the beginning of the year, pastor will say, this is our theme for this year. Okay, this is our goal for this year. This year, we're focusing on more so on souls. Now, it is true that sometimes we don't necessarily focus as much on souls because we've got to work on ourselves. In other words, if we bring a bunch of people into church, we may not be able to handle some of the issues that they have. And so we may need some teaching that says, look, this is the position that we have on this issue. This is how we need to handle that. And it needs to be known to the church. Okay, now we can focus on souls. Okay, so we have a vision for this church. Now, we have that yearly theme that we cast, but the vision is the same. The vision is the same. We continue in doctrine. We live our lives the best we can according to the Bible. We reach out to others. We bring other people to church. We love our neighbor as ourselves. What is it that you do as a Christian? Well, I can tell you, we have a clear vision of that as a group, as a body, because we have been given that vision by our pastor. Now, corporate, and I already mentioned this, corporate vision does not replace individual vision. There are some who rely almost solely on what's going on in the church, and they want to strictly work for the church their entire Christian walk. They want to be at church every day, but they really don't work on themselves as much. So we need to understand that corporate vision does not replace our personal vision. Now, part of corporate vision is teaching to have our own personal vision. Brother Stephen, I'm sure he teaches, look, you need to have your own walk with God. Young people, you need to read the Word. You need to pray. You need to do this. You need to get a hold of God. You need to get something from God that I cannot give you. It has to come from God. It has to come from His Word. So we must have a vision for those we lead, again, starting with our household. What does the Bible say? That if we don't provide for our own, we are worse than an infidel. So whatever we do in the church, however we minister, we must first minister in our home. There have been times I have had to step back a little bit from ministry because I needed to feed my family a little more, spiritually speaking. I had to focus on them. I didn't leave the ministry. I wasn't backsliding. There were just situations and certain things that said, look, I need to step back. And sometimes we do that in ministry and involvement. That's okay. That's absolutely fine. We, of course, do that with prayer, with counsel from our pastor, and we say, look, it's time to focus on this. Okay, and that could be a host of reasons that we might do that. Thirdly, the third practical aspect of vision that I want to mention, this might be one of the most important principles that we can ever get. We must assist others with their vision, with their personal vision. Acts 20 and 35, I have showed you all things that so laboring, doing, working, here we have that in practice again, ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to what? Give than it is to receive. Notice money is not mentioned here. Now, that we certainly know that this principle applies to money. And when we give money, it's not just about the cash. We have put time and effort and work into that. So when we give money, we are quite literally giving time spent in labor to the church or to others. But there is no reference to money here. Okay? We are to support other people. There are going to be times when my brother or my sister is weak. I may not even know that. A lot of times I don't need to know that. I know that I have been encouraged when I was weak, when I needed strength, and people assisted me. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. And at Christmas time, I get a much bigger kick out of watching my kids open up their presents than I do opening up my own presents. Now, I love my Star Wars toys that I get every year, every Father's Day, every birthday. I love that, okay? I'm not hinting at anything, by which I mean I am hinting. I'm going to be 50 this year, FYI. So what I'm saying is that I love getting those things. I love my little collection. I love it when my older brother, he found an original Graflex camera rod. If you know the history, Pat, y'all know the history about that. Original Graflex camera rod from the 1940s. Rare find. I love it. He found it for 30. They go for over $1,000 on eBay. He found it for 30 bucks at an antique store, and I paid him for it. To receive that thing was such a big deal. But I guarantee you, he was so thrilled to see the look on my face when I received that. I loved it when I watched my daughters open up the big gift. We got the big gift at Christmas time. They opened it up and Toby Mac tickets, and they just lost their mind. They even got teary-eyed in last year's, we're going on a cruise. And that blesses me more than anything I can receive for myself. Now, I know I am partaking in the joy, and that's fine. That's good for me to get blessed by it. But the point is, if you want to get blessed, if you want to really grow, if you want to really even receive yourself, we don't do it for those reasons. We do it primarily for the sake of someone else. But if you truly want that, do it for someone else. Assist someone else with their vision. You don't even have to entirely know what their vision is or what it is they're trying to accomplish, okay? I mentioned Joseph. Joseph, if he had not shared his dream with his brothers, then the course of events that happened may not have happened. Now, he had a place that he was going, and he had a vision of that. His vision at the time, and his vision came in this form because he was apparently too immature to receive it as it was entirely. His vision that was his brothers are going to bow down to him. His family is going to bow down to him. Now, you can imagine you got to be immature for that to be what God shows you. Okay, God sometimes will show us the exciting aspects of what we do, the powerful times, maybe the get up in the pulpit times or the sing that solo time when the power is falling. And he may not show us everything, but that was the part that he showed Joseph. If Joseph had kept that to himself, his vision still could have come to pass. It would have just happened in an entirely different way. The things that his brothers did, they were wrong for that. They meant it for evil, but God used it for good. But again, if it had not been that course, it could have happened in some other way. He could have become just as powerful, just as influential, just as effective. But God knew that we got to get this immaturity out of him. The Bible says he spied on his brothers. He was a spoiled brat. He was daddy's little boy. He got the gift. He was the favorite. He was the one that everybody said, here he comes again. And dad knew that. In fact, when he told the second dream, his dad said, oh, so I'm going to bow down to you too? Boy, you better know your place. That's what his dad was saying. Son, you need to watch out. And so we can see his immaturity because the dream that he had, he thought, was all about me. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to have a great anointing. When I preach, people are going to get behind me. When I sing or when I play, I'm just going to all flow, and people are going to give me compliments, and these wonderful things are going to happen. It's okay to see that. That's okay, but that's not what it was all about. I believe true greatness comes when we help somebody else with their dream, with their vision. I believe that if you want to be a great minister, a great preacher, it's not going to come when you get a thought that this is going to blow everybody's mind. This is going to be the biggest thing. And sometimes preachers get that. They lay it all out there and they preach it and everybody's just, okay, that's nice. Good for you. And they don't quite see it the way we do. And you can sometimes see them get frustrated. Don't you get this? This is just the biggest thing ever. Well, that's not what vision is all about. Assisting other people is so vital, is so important. Helping someone else with their dream. Joseph went through this process of going up and down and getting lied on. Now, he kept his integrity. We can learn so many things about vision and integrity and other issues through this story. But one thing that we see is that when he first received that vision, that dream, he was nowhere near ready for that dream to come to pass in his life. He was not ready. If his brothers would have bowed down to him while he had that level of maturity, it would have been a disaster, okay? But when the time came and the vision came to pass, he realized something in that moment. My vision was not about being the boss. My vision was not about being a conference speaker. My vision wasn't about preaching to a large crowd. I heard Brother Wayne Huntley say in a message once that the greatest message ever preached was John chapter 3. It was taught by Jesus at nighttime to one person. So, you know, it's the dream that we have cannot be all about ourselves. And so the dream that he had, when his brothers bowed down to him, it broke his heart. He began to weep and he began to cry. I can imagine all that went through his mind in that moment, looking back over the years and thinking, I remember the time when I told them, I'm going to be your boss. I'm going to rule over you. That's essentially what he was telling them. You're going to bow down to me. He told his own dad that. And he probably had a memory of that day and thought, wow, I didn't really see this vision fully for what it was. Because what the dream is about, it was about saving their lives. It was about keeping a nation from being wiped off the face of the earth. So if I ever become great, it's not going to be because I can use fancy words or I can have a great presentation or I can say something, you know, clever or, you know, preach a good message, play a mean bass or sing a good, any of that. Okay, I don't claim to even be able to do any of that. But it's going to come when I am somehow able to connect with someone else and tell them what you said was so spot on. What you did was just right. If you're a singer, it's not going to come when you get that solo that you've been wanting so bad. when you've been wanting to sing that song, somebody else is going to get that solo. That song that you wanted the verse to so bad, I wanted to sing that. I have a vision for being a great singer, for blessing others, and I'm not getting the solos, and I'm not getting scheduled as much as I want, and I didn't get the song that I was perfect for that song. Those things may roll through your mind and somebody else gets it. Well, that's how true greatness comes, because if you go to that person who perhaps is not as good a singer as you are, and you say, I'm praying for you, you may even have a twinge of jealousy saying that to them. Now, I'm talking about singing, but we know this is across many different contexts. But you tell that person, you're going to do awesome. You're going to do great. I can't wait to hear you sing. I am going to pray for you. I'm going to fast a meal for you. I am behind you. And that person who was nervous, who didn't think they were qualified, they suddenly feel encouraged. They suddenly feel emboldened. And when they sing, they are able to do so much better than they would have otherwise. Why? Because we forgot about ourselves. We put our own vision to the side and said, I'm behind you. I'm with you. And when it does come your time to sing that solo, or to preach that sermon, to play that instrument, you will have, even if nobody else knows what you have done for someone else, God will grant you an anointing that you would not have had otherwise. God will allow you to sing, to minister, to bless other people in a way that you never have before. And if I ever become great, if any of us ever become great, it won't be because we became particularly skilled at what we do. And we need to do that. We need to, if we play an instrument, we need to be able to adeptly play at whatever we're called to do. If we speak, I want us to be good at speaking. My dad, he loved to encourage other speakers. He also loved to give them a few critiques too, and he was good at that, you know. And I don't know if I'm as good at that. You know, I may have come to people and said, that was great. Now, when you do that, try this instead. You know, try this. You know, you kind of make it a positive thing. One time, a preacher, you know, my dad used to have a habit when he was a young preacher of doing this, wiping the sweat off his wrists, okay? And someone once told him, let him sweat, because that's distracting people. And he realized, okay, what else am I doing that might be distracting? And someone said, well, try this. Try not doing that. This approach. You know, he would critique me. I would tell a joke when I was a kid. He would laugh and he'd say, work on your delivery. I thought, let me work on my delivery. I'm 12 years old. Tell me to work on my delivery. I didn't realize it, and he may not have entirely realized it, but he was really preparing me for what I do with kids. Now, you may say, well, Brother Shannon, he's told a lot of funny stuff. I guarantee you, 99% of all the stuff I've done or taught over the years have been duds. Okay, I have had one-liners that fell flat that went this far, and that's where they ended. Okay, I spent a lot of time learning what not to do. My dad was a part of that. He helped me with my vision. I went to my pastor years ago, and I said, I'm going to start with children and work my way up. Don't get me started on that, okay? We don't start one place and work our way up. Well, if you minister to children, you minister to their entire lives. I've only got what's left of all of you talking right now, but ministering to children, you can put something there that stays there. But that's the way I thought, and some people still think that way. And I was going to move my way up. And my pastor said, God's already given me a vision for you, but I can't tell you what it is. I cannot tell you. You go and you pray. And I went and I prayed and I spent time, and God gave me a vision for what it is that I need to do. And sometimes we'll go to pastor and we'll say, I don't know what it is. And sometimes he'll know what it is we need to be involved in. And he'll just say, you pray about it. He may be itching. He may be saying, I want to tell you that you need to go to Africa. I want to tell you so bad that you've got some ministering in this city to do. I know exactly who you need to minister to. You're going to go into nursing homes and minister in ways that other people can't. You're going to do this. And he doesn't. But what does he do? He assists us with our vision. And I've heard pastors, I know he don't like bragging, but he's going to love me anyway. You know, he said, you know, I'm not the great one here. I'm not a conference speaker. I don't, you know, this and so forth. But if I could just help somebody else become a conference speaker or become a, become this, or help somebody else go on the mission field and do that. My friend, that's what true greatness is. There are how many visions have come to pass because of the time that was put into us, because of the things that were said to us, or even because of the things that weren't said to us? How many people have become greater because someone assisted us with their vision? You know the old saying, if you see a turtle on top of a fence post, then some cruel jerk put it there. Who puts a turtle on top of a fence post? But it didn't get there on its own. Yes, that's right. It didn't, okay? Anything you see me doing, anything I see you doing, as talented as you are, as charismatic as you are, as wonderful as any of us are, wonderful testimonies, the kindness, everything that we do, we did not get there by ourselves. It's kind of a, and I'm not getting political, but it's kind of a conservative thing to say individual achievement, individual achievement, individual achievement. And that's fine, but the truth is it doesn't take a village, but it does take a church. Okay? If we say a village, you know what we're referring to. We're talking about the body of Christ. I cannot get to where I want to go without you, without you, without you, without you helping me. Okay? I would not be the, and I'm not a great musician, but I would not be as good as I am without Mama Walden right there knocking me upside the head saying, quit it, quit it, quit it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that's okay. We can talk to each other like that. Okay. We have got to help each other with our vision, but vision starts right here. Stand with me if you would. Vision starts with the self. It's got to start with us personally. It's got to move into our families. Even if you don't have a family of your own, you're still a sibling. You can still lead in many ways in your home or wherever you're staying. You can still inspire others to do great things. But we must have a vision. Amen? Why don't we worship the Lord one more time before we move on to other things today. Lord, we love you so much, God. We thank you for the vision that you give, God. Not for our own ideas or our own abilities, God, but for the purpose and the plan that you have for us. God, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters who have blessed me, who have blessed my family, God, who have helped us to move forward, who have helped us to be better, God. I pray that whatever visions are represented in this place, bring them to pass, God. Help us to all encourage each other, Jesus. And help us to all let these things happen in your time, in your plan, according to what you would have. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for the vision that we have for this church, Lord. We thank you that we know where we're going. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've seen so much come to pass. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord one more clap. We love you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.